Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. I'm sure that many of you are like me, and the fact that the last several days you've been watching the news and the reports coming out of the areas in Southern California that have been burned, and it's heartbreaking seeing so many homes just burned to the ground. And as I've been watching the news, many people actually stood and watched their houses burn. And there's a common statement that they all kind of say, that they all have kind of said, and that is this: there was nothing that I could do. Last night, Melanie and I watched a documentary of sorts. I don't know what you'd call it. It's, yeah, similar to a documentary, but on the flood victims in North Carolina that I'm sure many of you have heard about. And testimonies of people that stood in the rain and watched their houses being washed away. One testimony of a lady sitting on top of the house. They got up on top of the house and the house started falling apart, and her mom and dad, her son and herself were washed away in the river, and she was the only survivor. And she said, there was nothing that I could do. And last night, as we were watching this on TV, I thought, is that not what surrender is? Where we get to the point in our lives where we say to ourselves, there is nothing that I could do. These people have surrendered their houses and their belongings to the fire and the floodwaters because there was nothing they could do. Surrender. As I prayed, you know, those of you that know, I talk about this just about every year, but I start usually praying about the theme sometime in the summer, June, July, usually, as I start praying. And as I was praying this summer, in August, an event happened in August that really solidified my thinking in the theme for this year. My thinking was this: totally giving oneself to God. Totally surrendering ourselves to God. And the word that I settled on was surrender. Partially because I was talking with my wife and kind of bouncing different things off. And I think maybe it was you that actually came up with the word surrender. But it was like, it is the perfect word for what I want to try and communicate this year. Like I said, it started back in August with an event. And the event was the death of an old friend. One of my professors when I was in Bible college, his name is Dr. Childs. He was 200 years old when he was a teacher. So I don't know how old he was when he died. No, I think he was in his 90s. I thought, you know, when I was a student, I thought, this guy is old. He used to tease about coming over the boat with Noah or something. I don't know. But anyway, he was one of the men that God used greatly in my life. He was an old school teacher, or professor, I should say. He would not allow computers in the classroom. everybody had to take handwritten notes because he thought if you had a computer, you're back there playing games. He just would not get into the 17th century. I don't know. He was definitely old school. But when he taught, there was something about the passion in which he taught that was contagious, right? Ashley had him as well. Was he about 200 then? I don't know. But he created within me a desire to teach the Word of God with enthusiasm. And I try. I really do try. I don't know that I always succeed, but I do try. He and his wife, I never really did know her name.
Anita.
Huh? Anita. Oh, there you go. It was either Mrs. Childs or he always talked about his wife in class, and as her nickname was Tiger. So, but when you saw her, you're like, wow, that's weird.
She was just
tiny little thing, and I'm like, what did she beat you up in that? I don't know. I always knew her as Tiger, so that's what I always knew her by. But humanly speaking, Dr. and Mrs. Childs sacrificed much for the cause of Christ. And I preface that by saying, humanly speaking, they were two people that knew what it meant to truly sacrifice. And I could go on for hours talking about the quote-unquote human sacrifices that they made, but I don't have time, and that's not the point. The point is this. One of the things that he would drill into his students is the idea that we need to be totally surrendered to God all the time. And he had a saying, and well, let me do this. At his memorial service, one of his former students had painted a painting and brought it to the memorial service. And this is a picture of the painting or the drawing. Was it a drawing or a painting? I don't know. Anyway, this is a picture of the drawing that one of his former students had done for him. And Dr. Childs would oftentimes in class talk about the fact that if we are going to come to God, we need to come to Him with open hands. And he would oftentimes really drill down on this idea. He would say, everything in your life belongs to God if you have open hands.
Amen.
One of the things he would say often is, we need to go to God with open hands. In other words, he used this phrase often in his teaching because he was trying to teach us as students the need to surrender our lives completely and totally to Him.
Amen.
So in August, as I was praying about the theme, God started working in my heart, and immediately when I didn't go to the memorial service because it was in North Carolina. I wanted to, but we got online and started looking at tickets, and for me to fly back to go to the service was just not reasonable, so I didn't go. But when I saw this drawing or painting or whatever it is, it solidified in my heart the need for surrender in my own life because it brought back so many memories of my professor and him pleading with the students to surrender all. And we cannot expect God to work on our behalf if we hold back things from Him. There have been times in my life I have done that. But God wants us to surrender all. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The word regard here is to focus on or really to kind of hold on to. So if I hold on to iniquity, that the idea of iniquity here is wrong behavior. So if I hold on to things in my life that are wrong, God will not hear me. And we think of this word wrong, and oftentimes we come with this idea that if the idea of iniquity, or if I hold on to something that is wrong, that it means that it's evil and wicked, and you say, well, I don't do those things. But let me ask you something. If there is something in your life that is holding you back from serving God, is it wrong? Yes. Even though it may be something fine, but if it's holding you back from serving God, then God wants you to let go of it. Because at that point, it has become something wrong. The psalmist understood this point. Paul tells us to discard anything in our lives that is going to hold us back. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, he says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning, my challenge is going to be really simple. Are your hands open or are they closed? Are you surrendered, or are you still holding on to things in your life? Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation in my high tower. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2, and he brought up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. I want to clarify one important misunderstanding about the word surrender. Some people misinterpret this word surrender as God wants me to surrender something good for something bad or hard. Not bad, but hard. God wants me to surrender to serve him, and he's going to send me to the deepest, darkest parts of Africa. That's what we think. But that is a misunderstanding of the will of God. God wants us to surrender something restrictive so that we can experience true freedom. I remember shortly after John and Ashley got the kids, at the time it was just four of them, but they were over at the house, and Scarlett was playing on an old wooden swing that we had that was 30 plus years old, and it was very weathered, and she got a splinter in her hand. And how many of you have ever had a splinter in your hand? Well, we've all had them, okay? And she very naturally started crying because it hurt. And she's crying and crying and crying. And, you know, they're new to our family, so we're just really trying to learn these kids. And I told Scarlett, I said, "You come with me." And we went into our bathroom, and I pulled out a pair of tweezers. And guess what I was going to do? I was going to pull it out. Well, you'd have thought I'd have pulled out a shotgun. And I was going to shoot her in the head. I don't know, but she lost it. I mean, I thought the people next door were going to call the police. I mean, the blood-curdling screaming that was coming out of the bathroom, and I'm just standing there holding a pair of tweezers. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Just burned into my memory. Yeah. Please remind her often. She scared me to death. But my point is this. See, I had the answer to the problem in my hand. And yes, we've all pulled splinters out of our hands, fingers, whatever. And yes, it hurts for a little bit, but what happens shortly after? It stops hurting. And we know this, but she didn't. And the very thing that she needed in her life, she refused to let me help her. And there are times in our lives we do the very same thing with God. God says, "Hey, I want to heal the hand. I want to heal your body. I want to heal your life." And we see the tweezers and we freak out and say, "No, God, I don't want to go through the pain of pulling the splinter out. I'd rather live with the splinter." He tells us we need to surrender and we need to come to Him with open hands.
Amen.
We have the tendency, though, to tighten up and hold on to things.
Amen.
I know in my own life, my tendency has been oftentimes when God has been trying to do work in my heart, that I tend to back away from God actually instead of moving toward God. And God the whole time is standing there saying, "Hey, I've got the answer to the problem right here. All we need to do is let go and let God."
Amen.
Now, I do want to clarify something, a disclaimer of sorts, if you would. I am in no way saying that if you surrender your life to God, that life is going to be great and prosperous, and that you're going to live in a mansion on the hill, and that all your problems are going to go away. It doesn't work like that. I don't know what surrender looks like in your life. I know what it looks like in my life, but I don't know what surrender looks like in your life. But we are going to go on a years-long journey of what it means to surrender. That's my goal this year. I do know that the God in heaven has something really incredible for your life.
Amen.
That's the promise He's given all of us. So the title of my message this morning, and I need to hurry, is simply surrender. Surrender. As a pastor, if there was one thing that I could make you do, you know, if I had the ability to just open your head and pour it in, I don't know, it would be the characteristic of surrender. If I could get you to do one thing and make you do it, it would be this idea of surrender. Because if we would just surrender our lives to Him, our lives could be so much different. Jan and I were even talking about that this morning before she even knew what I was preaching about. Surrender. But the reality is this, I can't do that for you. It is a choice that you have to make. It is a choice that each of us has to make. Jesus Himself could not make people surrender. He could only tell them that they need to surrender. Mark chapter 8 in verse 34. Here we are, we have Jesus speaking, and He says, and when He came to the disciples, I'm thinking something and reading something. Don't ever do that. That doesn't work too good. And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this time together. We ask that You would challenge us this morning in our thinking, that You would help us to get just a small glimpse of what surrender would mean in each of our lives. Lord, thank You for this opportunity. Thank You for Your love. And Lord, we ask that You would just meet with us this morning. We love You and we thank You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. See, we see here in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus cannot force His followers to make these choices. He uses the word whosoever will come after Me. That is an option. That is a choice for each of us to make. There are a couple of things here I want to look at at verse 34. The first one, it is clear that he there's no doubt what He's saying. Okay, and we're going to talk more about that here in a minute. But He's not trying to hide anything. He's being completely honest. If you want to live for Me, it's a choice that you're going to have to make. But the thing that is really important here, this was not a challenge just for His apostles, His disciples. It was for everybody. Look at verse 34 again, the first part. It says, and when He had called the people unto Him with what? With His disciples. So the invitation here is for everybody. This is not a disciple. It's not for His apostles. It's not for His inner circle. It is for everyone. The invitation to follow Christ and to be completely dependent on Him is for all of us. So, number one, self-denial. Let's read verse 34 again. And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him what? Deny himself. Let him deny himself. What does it mean to deny oneself? The actual definition of the word is this: to refuse to recognize or to acknowledge. So when we deny ourselves, what are we saying? I don't exist. But we live in a world that teaches us just the opposite. Do we not? Amen. Everything has to, the world revolves around you. And Jesus here is saying, no, it doesn't. Denying yourself is an essential part of the Christian life. One dictionary defines it this way: the willingness to defy oneself, possessions or status, in order to grow in holiness and commitment to God. So when I deny myself, I am then opening the door that God then becomes the center of my life. Self-denial goes against human nature. Amen. By nature, we are what?
Selfish.
Everything needs to be about me. For the Christian, it is vital to remove ourselves from the center of our lives and put Christ at the center of our lives. The phrase that I liked, I love this phrase, Christocentric. When Christ becomes the center of my life, I am a Christocentric believer, or a Christ-centered believer. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. For ye are dead, and your lives are hid with Christ in God. I believe that the most significant way that we can practice self-denial is by the way we treat others. Self-denial is the basis of the Christian faith. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than what?
Themselves.
That's a whole lot easier to do when Christ is the center of your life. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what? Others. See, if you're consumed with yourself, you can't do that. Self-denial starts when the needs of others become more important than your own needs. We have some examples in Scripture. I want to give you just a couple very quickly. When Ruth followed Naomi, she was practicing self-denial. If you're not familiar with it, go back and read the book of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not. Therefore, Naomi sacrificed Ruth sacrificed everything. She gave up her entire life and moved to a foreign land to be a blessing to her mother-in-law, Naomi. We see another example in the book of Esther. Esther risked her life for millions of people that she had no idea who they were. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink these 3 days, night or day. And I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. That is somebody who has understood the principle of surrender, who realizes that the world does not revolve around her. Number two, self-sacrifice. Let's read the last part of 34 again. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Self-denial is about putting others first. Self-sacrifice is dying to self. Dying to self in a sense of absolute surrender to God. I read something I wanted to share with you along the way. I don't know where I got this. I just read it and I thought, man, I need to share this. Many people interpret the cross to be taking up some burden that they must carry in their lives, a strained relationship, a thankless job, a physical illness, etc. With self-piety, pride, they look at their difficulty and say this, that is my cross to carry. Such an idea is not what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross and follow me. This is not an inconvenience. This is not a situation that you're going to, go through a little trouble. No. The idea here is serious business. In the culture that Jesus is talking to here, he says, take up your cross and follow me. He is literally telling them to be ready to what? Die. Because the symbol of the cross in that day was a symbol of death. We today wear crosses on our necklaces and we put them around, and it is a symbol of Christianity, and it is a symbol of love and forgiveness. But in this culture, it was a symbol of torture and death. And Jesus is basically saying, hey, if you're going to follow me, you need to be serious, because it's going to cost you something. And it's not going to be an inconvenience. It's going to be painful. Well-known missionary David Livingstone wrote this. People talk of sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice, which is simply knowledge, simply acknowledging a great debt we owe to our God, which can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings it its own reward and healthy activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of glorious destiny? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, danger, foregoing the common conveniences of this life, these may make us pause and cause a spirit to waver and the soul to sink, but let this only be for a moment. All these things are nothing compared with the glory which shall later be revealed in and through us. I never made a sacrifice of this. We ought not to talk. When we remember the great sacrifice which he made, who left his father's throne on high and gave himself for us. I love what he said in the middle of this quote. He said, it is emphatically no sacrifice. Rather, it is a privilege. See, that is what it means to be totally surrendered. So we've talked about self-denial, self-sacrifice. And number three, self-control. Let's read it again. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. Self-control. The truth is, we all choose our own direction. We all choose our own direction. We will choose to either follow him or follow our own selves. The choice is ours. And as a pastor, I wish I could make the choice for you, but I can't. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. A verse that God reminds me of often is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. When I get stubborn in my life and I start fighting back against the things of God and I want to do my thing, my way, God will always remind me of this verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, you idiot. No, I added that part. I should write that in my Bible, but if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and will sup with him, and he with me. Do you see the word with? I kind of overemphasized the word with. It doesn't say, hey, I'm standing here knocking the door, and if you open the door, I'll come in and, you know, we can sit and talk. That's not what he says. He says if he will open the door, he will come in to him and will sup with him. And he with me. Every invitation that God gives us throughout the entire Bible is dependent on our choice or our response, if you would.
Amen.
How are you going to respond? The choice is ours. As I have thought back to the fires, and it's just because it's still fresh in my mind, the other day, I think it was yesterday or the day before, I was watching this guy who had lost everything. He was standing in this pile of ash that was once his home in the Pacific Palisades. And the reporter was asking him questions, and I don't remember the question that was asked, but the answer was this: yeah, I lost everything, but the most important thing is my family. And I thought to myself, wow, that guy just put life in perspective, did he not? because the rest of it is just stuff. Now, granted, some of it is important stuff. Pictures, mementos, things that could mean a lot to us. But when it's all taken away, what is really the most important thing? His family. See, that is surrender. When we get to the point in our life where we can say with an honest and true heart, God, like Ashley and Julianne saying, I surrender all. It's all yours. With open hands. That's how God wants us to come to Him. With open hands. Andrew Murray wrote this: God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him. All we have to do is give it to Him.
Amen.
And He'll take care of the rest. But if you're anything like me, I remember there was a time, I remember it like it was yesterday. My pastor of 20 years, Pastor Stevens, he preached a message probably very similar to this on surrender. And I remember sitting in the pew, and this is, I tried to make a deal with God. And I said, God, this is what I said. I said, okay, God, I will give you my entire life except for this one thing. I won't tell you what it was. And y'all laughed for two reasons. One, because you've probably done the same thing.
Amen.
But you knew you know the result. God eventually got it all. Because when we hold back, God says, okay, you want that? We'll see how, let's see how that works out.
Amen.
See, God wants our lives. He wants us to come with open hands. He wants us to come with a heart that is open and willing to say, God, what you want for my life, I will do. When Dr. Childs died in August, and I saw the painting from the memorial service, all of this came flooding back into my life. And the timing could not have been better. Not because of the theme for this year, but because of what God did in my heart and life. It was a great reminder that surrender is something that I do every day. Not just once when I was in college or once. No, it is an everyday battle. Because life still happens. Let me close with what David Livingston said here. It is emphatically no sacrifice, rather a privilege. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. And Lord, thank you for for the incredible idea that you would even consider taking my life and using me. What an incredible thought that you even want to use me. That is a thought, a challenge in my life that is almost beyond my ability to comprehend. But Lord, you have asked me to surrender all. You've asked me to surrender my life, to choose you over me, to put Christ in the center of my life instead of my own wants and desires. Thank you for that. Help us, dear God, this morning to surrender all. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you,